magnify, praise you, O Lord.
Welcome to Rhema Christian Fellowship Ministry, your virtual community church. We're living in excellence, we walk in expectation. Join us now while Pastor Carter Dean Harris brings us a word from our Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Gracious God, thank you, Lord. Good morning, Father. Good morning to you, Son. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Gracious God, thank you, Lord, for your many blessings, for your hope and your joy. Thank you, God, ruler of everything. Oh God, keeper of all things. Thank you, Lord. Father, we stretch our hands to thee this morning. No other help. We know. Praying that you won't withdraw yourself from us, God. Pleading and pleading, oh God, from the bottom of our hearts and the depths of our soul, that you, O God, you and you alone, O God, will stand by us, will keep covering us, will keep strengthening us, will keep guiding us, God. We love you this morning, Father. We bless you this morning, Son. We need you this morning. Holy Spirit, touch the people everywhere. Move over this earth, God. Healing needs to take place. Oh God, salvation and redemption need to take place. So much, Lord. So much, Lord, that we need from you. Show us what it is you need from us. God, thank you, Lord. Show us your ways. Teach us your ways, God, that we might be able to come through and to hold on, God. Hold on and don't let go. Thank you, Jesus, for your kind and loving mercy. Everything you brought us through and brought us out of. We're so grateful. We're so grateful. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Son. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead and give him a praise wherever you are right now. Good morning, people of God. Good morning, people of God. Go ahead and give him a praise where you are right now. You may not be able to praise him 5 minutes from now. Go ahead and give him a praise right now. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Lord God, we welcome you into this place, Lord. Welcome into this place. Welcome, oh God. Oh God. We lift our hearts and we lift our hands and we offer up a praise unto your name. Thank you, God. Welcome into this place. Hallelujah, Jesus. Welcome, Jesus. This vessel. Use me, O Lord, as only you are able to do. Amen, amen, and amen. I will bless the Lord at all times. Good morning, people. Good morning, people of God. Good morning. Rhema Christian Fellowship Ministry, our virtual community, our virtual followers, our virtual worshipers. We bless the Lord this morning for you. God, we give you glory for the people right now. We give you glory for their breakthroughs right now. We give you glory, God, for the elevations right now. We give you glory, God. We give you glory, God, for every job that has come through, every healing that has taken place. We give you glory for your people right now, God. Your people who are listening in, God. Your people who are looking on, God. Your people who this word will reach, God. And even those who this word might not get to. We know that this word isn't coming back null and void. And so we give you glory this morning. You, God, for these your people. We give you glory, God, for the airways even right now. For the social media. Y'all better come on and give God some praise in here. Because without him, none of this would be happening. None of this would be possible. Glorify the Lord with me. Oh, come on and magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his very name together. Hallelujah. Welcome into this broken vessel. God, sometimes we got to be broken in order to receive the repair. Oh, God. Oh, God. That's Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Good morning, people. We bless God for you. We appreciate you. Oh, come on. If you're there, I want you to engage in this thing this morning. Amen. I know you're in your home. I know you might be in your car, but you can engage this morning. Amen. Throw up some heart emojis. Drop an amen in the comments. Come on. Just wave your hands. Oh, God, in the mighty, wonderful, immaculate name of he who is able to keep us from falling and to present us what? Faultless before the Almighty God. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. The Holy Spirit. Amen. Working in connection. Oh, my God. And in communication. Amen. Go ahead and give God a praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. We're going to go into the book of Luke this morning and the book of Acts this morning. We're not going to dibble and dabble long, but we're going to get in there and we're going to get something out of it. Amen. I want you to get your Bibles ready. Get your mindset ready. Get ready to open up your hearts. Ask God right now in this very moment. God, give me an ear so that I can hear what thus says the Lord. Amen. Because everything you think about, no matter how much you get, how many degrees, guess what? There are some things. It's more than you'll ever know. There are some things that God has for us. It's more than you ever know. There are some things that God is expecting of us. It's more than you'll ever know. Come on, give God a praise this day that he has made. Go ahead, rejoice and be glad in it. Come on now. Come on, it's more than you'll ever know. We're looking in the book of Luke and we're looking at some things that took place as Christ was teaching, as he was traveling, as he was going about his father's business. We're looking in the book of Acts and we're looking at a couple of people that we may not have even paid attention to as we've read these scriptures, as God has revealed and taught us. Listen, it's more than you'll ever know. There is so much in the word of God that we won't ever know, that we may not understand. There is so much that God has to teach us. There are so many mysteries in this earth that we may never know. It's more. Listen, we can't even fathom him. We can't even fathom his wisdom. We can't even fathom his greatness. His creation. We are still in awe of the creation of the earth. You hear me? That's why scientists keep studying. That's why they keep digging deeper and deeper, trying to get to the middle of the earth. That's why as deep as they can go in the waters, they still can't go deep enough. It's more than you'll ever know. Amen. Let's go ahead and look at Luke, the 13th chapter this morning. And I want you to look at the 22nd through the 24th verses with me. Luke, the 13th chapter. And I want you to look at the 22nd through the 24th verses. And we're reading from the English Standard Version this morning. You follow along in whatever version you have before you. Amen. And the Word of God says, He, Jesus, went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. I'm going to read those again. He went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter, God my Jesus, and will not be able. It's more than you'll ever know. Oh my goodness, I just had a vision of, a thought of going into an arena. And when you're trying to enter into that civic center or that arena, and the crowds are waiting outside for the doors to open, and how the doors only open but so wide. And even though they may have five or six doors, the doors only open so wide. He says, strive to enter through that narrow door. You know, and people stop pushing, trying to get in. I want you to envision that thing. He says, for me, they said, Lord, will those who are saved be few? That's what that 23rd verse says. Will those who are saved be few? I want you to think of it this way, that what's on the inside, my God, of that arena is what you need to get to for that salvation. And he said to them, strive to enter the narrow door. Enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Now, I want you to imagine that as they're trying to get into that place, that all of a sudden, the power goes out. And the people say, we can't let anybody else, and the doors begin to shut. Many, I tell you, are going to seek to enter and will not be able. People will be trying to find a way in, and it's going to be too late. Oh, my goodness, he says, strive to enter. That means you got to put some things in place. You got to do what you need to do. To assure, listen, that you got the ticket, but you got the right time and the right entryway to get in. Oh, my goodness. It's more than you'll ever know. The very things going on around you. Let's look at Acts 1:1-5. And it starts this way. And Luke is writing this. He says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he, Jesus, had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them, those same apostles that he had chosen, during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he, Jesus, said, you have heard from me. John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. It's Christ talking to his disciples, his apostles, whom he had called to follow him. Oh, my goodness. And Luke is giving an account of this thing that took place. And he's talking to a man by the name of Theophilus. And so you know just a tad about Theophilus. Theophilus was likely, as I studied, a Roman official. And if you go back to a place in, I think, Luke another in Luke, the third chapter. Theophilus is mentioned there, and when he's addressed by Luke, Luke says, "Oh, great Theophilus." So that means he has some kind of a position. So if you're wondering, why is he telling him about what's going on? You see, he says, the former account I made of all that Jesus began to do and teach. That means I've already given an account for what Christ was doing. And it says, until the day in which he was taken up, he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles, to whom he also presented himself alive. See, now he's talking about Christ, my goodness, after his death and resurrection. And he presented himself to those same apostles. And Christ walked in this earth another 40 days, even after his death and resurrection. And being assembled together, Christ, when Christ came together with them, he commanded them. This is what he told them before he ascended. Do not part from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. What was that promise of the Father? Which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, that fifth verse. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. That's the promise. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's more than you ever know. You won't understand everything that's coming. You won't ever understand everything that's happening. But be rest assured, because I told you so, then you know. It's more than you'll ever know to really understand the mysteries of God. Let's go to Acts 18, 24 through 25. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent, I want you to hear, in the scriptures. It means he knew the scriptures. My goodness, he had been instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. Oh, yes. More than you'll ever know. It's really more than you'll ever know. He only knew the baptism of John. However, the word of God declares and decrees that he had been instructed in the way of the Lord, that he knew the scriptures. It says he was competent about what the scriptures said. He was competent in what was going on. He was competent, oh my goodness, in the instructions of the way and in the way of our Lord. It's more than you'll ever know. Let's go ahead and look at Acts 19, 1 through 6. It's more than you'll ever know. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he, Paul, found some disciples. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And he, Paul, said, into what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him. That is Jesus. On hearing this, they, those 12 disciples of John, yes, Lord, were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Don't miss the sixth verse. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. And that seventh verse simply says there were 12 men. My God. Wow. It's more than you'll ever know. Do you understand that when they were baptized by John, they were baptized because of the belief of what John was preaching? And Paul reminded them that what John was preaching was about he who was coming after him. Do you think it's strange when they said, we never heard of this Holy Spirit? You have to understand the times and put yourself in the scene and how these people were spread abroad and over here and over there. Listen, you have to understand they didn't have social media so somebody could post something about the Holy Spirit. So somebody could call somebody. They didn't have the telephones. Call you up, get you a text. They were spread abroad, way hundreds and thousands sometimes of miles from each other. And so that news of the Holy Spirit had not yet reached them. But Paul brought the news of the Holy Spirit. He didn't just bring the news of the Holy Spirit, you see. He had them, oh my God. It says they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So he gave them the route, the straight entry, brought them through the right door to go to another level. It's more than you ever know. Wherever you are right now is not all you're going to know. Wherever you are right now is not all that God has for you. Even the most educated or the most knowledgeable person in this world doesn't have the key to it all, doesn't know the route to get here, may not know the right route to get there. They don't know every single thing about every single thing. And you need to remember that. This more than you'll ever know, no matter what your status. It's more than you'll ever know, no matter how many degrees you have. It's still more than you'll ever know. The disciples of John in Acts 19, they had been baptized, but did not have a clue to who or what was this Holy Spirit. Yes, they were John's disciples. John baptized them. But what they missed was what John said in Luke 3 and 16. Listen to this. I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come. The straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, can you imagine if John was saying that every time or he had preached that they missed it? It could have been that they weren't nearby when he said that. It could have been that they were distracted when he said, hey, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Can you imagine? That's why we have to keep pushing the word out. We have to keep telling somebody. You know, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, because believe it or not, y'all, somebody hasn't heard. Somebody doesn't know anything. And as much as we know, it's more than we'll ever know. Listen, knowing things and doing things relate and rely heavily one on the other. Knowing things and doing things rely and relate. They relate to each other and they rely heavily on one another. Let's think about the game of Jeopardy. I know many of us know Jeopardy. Some of our younger people may never have heard of Jeopardy. Might not have, but when we hear the game of Jeopardy, or we miss and sit down and watch Jeopardy, we know we're looking for somebody to win that game. And so in that game of Jeopardy, if you're not versed on it, let me just bring you up to speed. The winners of Jeopardy are deemed some of the smartest or most intelligent people in the world. Now, is everybody who goes to Jeopardy a winner? Does everybody appear to be so smart? Sometimes they're in the negative and you're going, why did you go on this show? But in the game of Jeopardy, let's look at, oh my gosh, let's look at the word Jeopardy. Let's look at the word Jeopardy. The word Jeopardy simply means danger of loss, harm, or failure. I want you to ingrain that right now, because see, all we see is the game and the people winning money. Yeah. But Jeopardy means danger of loss, harm, or failure. Wow. Danger of loss. L-O-S-S. Losing stuff. Harm. Getting hurt. Or failure. Jeopardy. We look at the game of Jeopardy, and they go through a series of questions and when they answer that question, though, they have to answer that question with a question. What is? It's more than you ever know. They have to answer that question with a question. And they choose categories. And you can imagine that as the categories come across the screen, that I can imagine those players are thinking, let me choose the one I'm the strongest in. Let me choose the one I know I'm going to get. Oh, my goodness. And you watch, you keep watching, and sometimes the players, what they do is, because you have the five or six categories, and then you have the questions that go with the value from least to greatest down. And then you have these very smart players. When they ask for the question they want to answer, they start at the bottom and work their way up. So see, at the bottom is the most value. Oh, my goodness. And they can build up what they have. When you look at the game of Jeopardy, sometimes you start with Jeopardy. Then you go into Double Jeopardy. Oh, my goodness. And the points are worth more. Double Jeopardy. Oh, my goodness. And the amounts of or the value of each question becomes greater. So guess what? You're in danger of a greater loss, greater harm, greater failure. Because if you choose the question with the most value and you get it wrong, my God, you have the most loss. Oh, my goodness. And then they go to Final Jeopardy. Get to the last round. And in Final Jeopardy, everything is dependent on one question. What is the answer to this? But even before they get to Final Jeopardy, as they're picking and choosing, you know it's really a gambling game. And as they're picking and choosing where they want to go, sometimes they get a bonus call, Daily Double. And when that Daily Double comes up, you have an opportunity to raise your earnings to a higher place. But if you miss that question, you might be right back to a negative, negative, negative number. So when you do Double Jeopardy, when you do Daily Double, listen, you have a greater chance of danger, of loss, harm, or failure. See, we don't look at Jeopardy that way. All we see is some people winning some money. And let me tell you, there have been some people that have won some money on Jeopardy. Oh, my goodness. The greatest winner, I want to say all-time winnings. Because as I begin to look this for this, they had who won the most games. Do you want to win the most games? Or you want to win the most money? We know the name Ken Jennings because right now he's become one of the hosts of Jeopardy. Kim Jennings won the most games over the years. Oh, my goodness, with 74 games. But Ken Jennings didn't win the most money. Brad Rutter is in the lead with the most money at $4,938. $4,938,436. While Ken Jennings fell behind by about $4,000 with his 74 games. Wow. Listen. It doesn't matter how many of this you do if you don't know how to do it with that. And that takes me right back to what I just said. Oh, my goodness. Knowing things and doing things relate and rely heavily one on the other. When we think about Jeopardy, we have to make sure that we know enough to keep ourselves out of danger of loss, harm, or failure. When we want to play Jeopardy with our lives, with our very souls, we want to think about this. What's more embarrassing? Getting to Final Jeopardy and losing it all, or getting to Double Jeopardy in the negative? Because if you get the Double Jeopardy in the negative, guess what? You can't even go to Final Jeopardy. They don't even show you back on the screen. Oh my goodness. But if you go into Final Jeopardy, and you have just an edge on the person next to you, you might have just a few more. You got to be strategic in what you place in your bet. See, they don't say bet. They just want you to put up what you think. Come on. I don't know the exact wording, but you got, Say that.
Wager.
Your wager. What are you wagering? Thinking you know the answer. Because guess what? You don't even know the question yet. I want y'all to think about that. You don't know the question in Final Jeopardy before you make your wager. You only know the topic. What might be the answer? Where are they going with this? And so you wager based on your knowledge of the topic. Not about what the specific question will be. Oh my goodness. What's more embarrassing? You could be at the end. There could be no more chances. If you get to Final Jeopardy, even with $1, you've got a chance. And more than you know. Listen, because it's more than you ever know to understand this part of it. You might have $1, and that person with $10,000 who thinks they know it all, bets it all. My goodness, you bet your $1, they get it wrong, you get it right. And guess who wins? You're now the new crown champion of Jeopardy. So many questions running through our minds, through the minds of people. So many questions about this or that. It's more than you ever know. How do we bring all this together? Because with that thing called Jeopardy, that danger of loss, harm or failure, that danger that it might not go right. It's more than you ever know. You never know exactly what God is going to do. You'll never know the next move, the next step. But that thing has to come in called trust. But you also have to have some knowledge of Him. You also have to be reachable and teachable. You can't answer all the questions on your own every time. Oh my goodness, where were you when this took place? What is going on? Why did that happen? How did they get there? You can't answer all the questions on your own. Do you know many preachers and teachers and apostles and bishops and leaders get caught up sometimes because they're asked a question that they cannot answer? And like on Jeopardy, you better not hit that buzzer if you don't know the answer, because what it's going to do is cause you to lose more. If you don't know the answer, stop. Look, listen, think. Hey, you so busy trying hard and hitting the buzzer until you mess up. The world is waiting for you. My God, those 12 disciples that Paul encountered were probably saved from some unnecessary grief. Because now, after they were rebaptized, you see, it's okay to go back. It's okay to restart. It's okay to refocus. Now they had something that could move them beyond Final Jeopardy. Beyond the loss of it all. It could take them to another level. It could help them gain more souls. Oh my goodness, because now they weren't dependent on just their knowledge. They were dependent on the knowledge of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's more than you'll ever know that the world is waiting for you to put your actual life or soul in jeopardy. It's more than you can ever really understand. You can't fathom the things of God, and we cannot fathom even the things of this earth. That word jeopardy, that danger of loss, of harm, of failure, sometimes puts us on pins and needles, causes us to back up from some things, not to go forward. It may cause some fear in us, and that fear we need to give up to God. Knowing things, again, and doing things relate and rely heavily one on the other. What you know in jeopardy keeps you going. You keep getting a chance to increase your winnings. What you know in God keeps you going. It keeps increasing your opportunities to bring somebody else in. It keeps increasing your opportunity to get into that narrow door. It keeps increasing your opportunity. Oh my God. However, what you do with the knowledge, when you're given that knowledge, when you're given the unction of Holy Spirit, what you do with it is even more important. Now, to keep advancing, you might know all of this and absolutely none of that. Listen, the categories that come up, you might choose this one thinking you know and not get one response right. You even get to choose the category, my goodness, that you think is going to be most favorable to you. But you can still mess up because you might know all of this and none of that. But who does have all of it? Who knows the right way to get into that narrow door? Many are going to try to get in. Christ already said they're not going to make it. You've got to keep going. You got to keep searching now for more. Now, not later. And when you know more, how many of y'all agree you can do more? When you understand it better, you can execute your plan better. The more you increase your wisdom, knowledge, and understandings of things in this earth, the more you're able to do in and on this earth. But let's look at this. If you allow the Holy Spirit to be your teacher, to be your guide, to instruct you through the anointing, oh my goodness, though it may still be more than you will ever know, he knows all things. He's got all the wisdom. You know a whole lot more and be able to do so much more. Don't give up. Don't feel like you failed. You tried it. You stepped out there. You played double jeopardy. You lost. Oh my goodness. You are simply causing yourself to be in more danger of loss, of harm, of failure. If you fail, get back up. If you go in the negative, guess what? There's an opportunity to come back. And that's why they'll throw that. They'll even throw the daily double at you. You might be in negative $2,000. And the daily double says, well, you can still wager up to $2,000. But guess what? If you get it wrong, then you in the negative $4,000. Oh, my God. But the biggest part of that is, listen, you know a whole lot more and be able to do so much more. If at first you don't succeed, try. Try again. You heard that? But you've got to be teachable and reachable. If we go back and look at Apollos in that 18th chapter of the book of Acts, there are two named Apollos. It says he was a native of Alexandria and he came to Ephesus. It says he was an eloquent man. They gave him a description of a competent in the scriptures. He'd been instructed in the way of the Lord. He had a fervent spirit, which meant he had a way of displaying passion and intensity in the way he presented the scriptures, in the way he brought it forth to the people. And it says he spoke and taught accurately. That means he wasn't blundering. He had it right. He was getting every time he hit that thing on Jeopardy, he was getting every question. He was moving his numbers up. It says he taught accurately the things concerning Christ. But it says he knew only the baptism of John. So did it stop there with him? I need us to look at it. Though Apollos was only baptized by John, he was reachable, which made him teachable. He was teachable, which made him reachable. Thus, he positioned himself to gain access to more wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Look at Acts 18, 26 through 28. It says this. He, Apollos, began to speak boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explain to him the way of God more accurately. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Wow. And when he wished to cross Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed. For he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that Christ was Jesus. I just needed to tell y'all that about Apollos, because you see, that Jew named Apollos, though Luke explained that he accurately taught the things concerning Jesus, that he had a passion about himself, somebody was able to pull him. Evidently, Priscilla and Aquila heard him and said, you got it, but you don't have it. Come on over here. But he received, you see, from them. He was reachable. He was teachable. Now, when we first looked at Apollos, we said, oh, he knows it all. But listen, it's always going to be that it's more than you'll ever know. You'll never know everything. You'll never have every answer. You'll never, oh my goodness, even on Jeopardy, the man that has the 4 million something, at some point he got out. At some point it stopped. At some point his reign was over. But let me tell you, there is one whose reign is never going to be over. And Apollos had to recognize that though he had some skill, he needed something else. He needed an interjection of the Holy Spirit. Those disciples of John understood that they were preaching because of the baptism and preaching repentance. But when, oh my goodness, Paul came and laid hands on them and they were baptized in the name of, oh God, Jesus the Christ, then the Holy Spirit became a part of what they knew. The Holy Spirit became a part of who, what, when, where, why, and how. The Holy Spirit, you see, oh my goodness, is able to do, because it is able to do so much more than us. It's more than we'll ever know. But we've got to keep trying to find out. We got to keep seeking the Lord while he may be found. Asking it shall be given, it says. Seek and you shall find. It says, knock and the door shall be opened. God's not going to ignore your seeking. He's not going to ignore your asking. He's not going to ignore your knocking. Christ has already prepared you that when those crowds begin to try to get in, guess what? There's going to be a crowd controller, let me tell you. Because even when you're going into that civic center, you're going into that arena, when those doors open and people are pushing you back and you can't get in, listen, there's going to be none of that. Because only those who are allowed in that narrow doorway are going to be in line and they're going to be coming on in. Oh my God. Listen, make sure that you understand that to get into that door, you got to first know Jesus Christ. To get into that door, listen, he said, when you know me, you shall receive power. And after that, then the Holy Spirit will come upon you. You see, the Holy Spirit is the teacher. The Holy Spirit is the encourager. It's more than you'll ever know. But if you have a Holy Spirit within, the Holy Spirit will guide you. You may not see that accident coming, but the Holy Spirit will guide you. You may not see before that car hits you, but the Holy Spirit will, oh my God, immediately, oh my God, beckon the angels and the angels will be, oh my God, encamped around you. That car might be totaled, but you're going to come out. You hear me? Oh my goodness. The Holy Spirit is who will tell you how to respond in any situation. You don't have to argue. You don't have to go this way or that way. Just stop, look, and listen for the Holy Spirit. Because even the things that are coming at you day after day, it's more than you'll ever know. You thought that was the relationship. You thought that was the job. You thought that was the route that you were supposed to go. You thought that was the business that you were supposed to. Oh my God. But listen, listen. Every time you make a decision, you got to think about jeopardy. Danger of loss, harm or failure. And when you think about jeopardy, your mind, your spirit ought to go to how? The Holy Spirit. Because he knows every one of those answers. What is the Holy Spirit? Listen, when you're fretting, you need to ask that question. What is the Holy Spirit? You see, in jeopardy, when you respond with your answer, who can keep me from falling? Who is God? Listen, you have to answer. Oh my gosh, with an answer. Answer everything, every question with a question. Oh my goodness, knowing things and doing things. You got to remember, they go together. What you know will help you be able to do what you need to do. You can't walk into a firehouse, get on the fire truck, go to the fire and help put out fires if you haven't had the training. You see, even though Apollos had some training, Apollos needed some more classes. Priscilla and them, they pulled him to the side. So you have a little bit more you need to know. There's some more things you need to learn. Be reachable and teachable. Listen. Oh my goodness. I heard this so long ago. Be with the people you want to be like. Listen. More than you ever know. It's more than you'll ever know. But understand this. If you're being around people who aren't going anywhere, you aren't going anywhere. If you're doing some things that you know you shouldn't be doing, hey, my goodness, it's more than you ever know. But understand, at some point, you're going to hit rock bottom. Things aren't going to be right for you. They're not going to be the same as you thought they were going to be. Listen, without instruction from the wisest of the wisest, all-knowing God, He is. He is all-knowing. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He is all-knowing. He will lead you. He will guide you. Oh my goodness, we're almost there. Because now, listen, the Holy Spirit, who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than what we ask or think or seek or knock for, because now you have the Holy Spirit. His increase is your increase. He's increasing your wisdom, your knowledge, your understanding of things in and on this earth. Stop worrying about this, that, and the other. You can't fix it without the Holy Spirit. And now you've got a direct link. You see, when you were trying to do it on your own, it wasn't holding out. It's not eternal. Even those Jeopardy winners that went into the millions, it's nothing eternal about it. Because now, the Holy Spirit, you see, you've got a direct link into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And He's got a direct link to the one who can supply all your need according to His riches and glory. The more you're able to do in this earth because of the Holy Spirit, the more you're able to conquer in this earth because of the Holy Spirit. There's always going to be some mysteries of the Father that we may never know. We may never, ever know. But it's okay because He knows it all. I don't care how deep they go in the ocean. They have not laid eyes on every creature that God has made in the ocean. Every time they come back, oh, we found something new. Doesn't matter how long and hard the scientists dig up graves and do this and do that. Guess what? They can dig up something. They can dig up Moses, but I know one they're not going to dig up. Listen, He's not there. Oh, God, we don't know. Wow. What we have to face tomorrow. But we do know that because of Christ coming and leaving the Holy Spirit to tend to us, we have every opportunity to worship Him, to be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, and we have every opportunity to live and live life more abundantly. We have to be like Apollos, though, y'all, and the 12 disciples of John. We have to be reachable and teachable. Even though it's more than you'll ever know, you'll have a direct connection to He who does know. More than some of us are able or willing to admit. We don't know a lot. We don't know everything. But it doesn't matter. Because even though, again, it's more than we'll ever know, even the things of this earth, even how they got there, how they did that, how they're doing this, it doesn't matter. Because when it comes to God, the one thing we do know is that He loved us more and loves us really more than we'll ever know. But we know He loved us enough to let His Son go to the cross for us. He loved us enough to let His Son die on the cross for us. He loved us enough, though, to resurrect Him and have Him come sit with Him so that He'd have an opportunity to come back when we get it right. To come back, oh my goodness, and help us, oh goodness, even those who have already died, to bring them back up to be with Him. Those of us who remain, to bring us to a place where we're able to recognize holy Jesus Christ. Listen, these things may be more than you'll ever know, but they're not more than God will allow us to grasp, to touch, to be a part of. Listen, go ahead and give God a praise. Amen. Wow. It's more than you'll ever know. The very things that you've studied for, you can't study at all. The very things that you become experts in, you really aren't the expert in. Because things keep evolving. There's nothing new under the sun. Things keep changing. All of your hard work and studies, getting your bachelor's, your master's, your doctorate, your specialist, guess what? It's still never enough on this earth. Because they keep adding more stuff to it. Things keep changing. Oh my goodness. You may be the best technologist now, but 5 years from now, if you don't keep pulling, if you don't keep grasping, if you don't keep getting some more, Apollos had to get some more. Those disciples had to get some more so that they could do what Christ said. Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I'll tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Your knowledge isn't going to get you through unless it's the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, of Him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the everlasting God. Amen, amen, amen. Listen, it may be a lot to fathom who God is, but let me tell you, this is simple. It's giving Him your heart. I don't know everything about God, but I know enough about God to understand and to hear and to listen intently as He proposes God an opportunity to save me, to redeem me, to give me a right to the tree of life. And we're offering that to you this morning. If you hadn't figured out how to get through that narrow door, this is how. God said, in His word, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, God said, you'll be saved. That's it. That's how you get through that narrow door that Christ was talking about. We want you to pray this prayer with us. If you've decided right now, make the decision now that you want to be able to be with God when it's all said and done. When final jeopardy is over, you want to have the right answer. Pray this prayer with us. Father, forgive me for my sin. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. I do confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. God, I believe in my heart that you raised Him, Jesus, from the dead. I may not know everything, God, but because you are all-knowing, I'm going to trust you in this. I need you, Lord. I need you to lead me, to guide me, to help my unbelief, and to stay with me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. If you prayed that prayer, we want you to text the word salvation to 912-856-1837. And we'll respond to you accordingly, because we want to be able to support you. We'll send you some information concerning salvation so that you can continue to study for yourself, to read for yourself, and to get to know God for yourself. And in the midst of everything going on, if you need prayer for any reason, at any time, day or night, text the words, pray for me, and we will pray for you to that same number. We will pray for you. We will pray with you. We'll ask God to keep you and to cover you. Amen. And if you desire to join us, become a covenant partner with Rhema, the virtual community church. Amen. Text connect with me and we will connect with you. Listen, we do have need of workers, even in our virtual ministry. How do we reach out to others? How do we get out and get people to come and to know we are here? Connect with me. Let me know who you are. Amen. And we'll let you know who we are. Our mission and our vision, to foster an atmosphere of true worship, to reap souls for Christ, and to empower you, the people of God, to live how? In excellence, through Jesus Christ, that Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness. So you can walk in expectation of the salvation of God. Not of Rhema, not of the virtual, but of God. And so everything that you think is more than you'll ever know, he'll teach you and he'll keep you. Amen. 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 God bless you, people of God. Drop an amen in the comments for us. Touch and agree with us. Amen. We give God glory.